Amen.
Yeah, if you have your Bible, if you want to turn to Revelation chapter 12, Revelation chapter 12, we talked the other day from Revelation chapter 11, and we talked how we just talked about the first few verses in chapter 11, how God is telling the prophet to measure the holy place church, the altar, he means the golden altar, and them that worship in it, but he's not to measure the outer court, because the outer court is to be trampled underfoot for this period of time, 42 months, 1,260 days, 3.5 years. Okay, it means the same thing. So the following, and we really didn't get into what's really going to happen to those that he gives power, okay? And I don't want to get into that because it'll take the whole message. It is a very good word, however. And there's coming a time when God is going to give such power to his two witness company. I say his two witness company. This is not just two people. This is a company. It very clearly is a company. And it is comparable to a company that we're going to look at in chapter 12. You know, the Word of God has different ways to say the same thing. I could make a list of the different ways that it's describing this company. We'll be looking today at the man-child company, okay? But what we have in chapter 11 is the two-witness company. And we could say that this is the overcomer's company. We could say that this is the 144,000 company. What are the other terms that describe this same thing? The bride, amen? And some people say, oh, these are all different aspects of people of God. I don't believe they are. You can believe what you want. It doesn't matter. It's going to happen the way it's going to happen. And God is going to do it the way he's going to do it. But I found the interesting thing here in the very last verse of chapter 11. And by the way, you know that when John wrote this, he didn't write chapter numbers, or he didn't write verse numbers. Did you know that? These numbers weren't put in until quite a while after the Word of God had been circulating for quite a while. And then somebody said, well, let's put numbers in here so that we can find our way more easily. You know, when Jesus stood up in the synagogue that day in Matthew chapter 4, they handed him the scroll of Isaiah, and it says he found the place where it was written. So, you know that Jesus knew the Word. He knew the written Word. He knew the Talmud. He knew the law. He knew it so well that he just rolled right through it. No, not here. A little further. Oh, there it is. And that's the Word that he wanted to preach on. But the last verse here in chapter 11 says, and the temple of God was opened. Now, wait a minute. John is in the spirit. He's not in the natural. And you know that when the book of Revelation was written, it was somewhere in the AD 90s. The temple, the actual temple down in Jerusalem, had already been destroyed. So John is seeing a heavenly temple. All right, he is not seeing anything natural. He says the temple was opened. Amen. That means it was available. There was still a door to come in to the temple. The door was still open. Amen. The temple was open in heaven, and there was seen in the temple the ark of his testament. Amen. So the ark was seen in temple. So what John was seeing was the Holy of Holies, the spiritual realm of the Holy of Holies. Okay? Now, let's go down to chapter 12, because he's seeing something else now. He says, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven. Now keep this word in mind. Maybe I should write that word up here. The word heaven. Where should I write it? Let me write it over here. Okay? A wonder in heaven. Well, I thought he was seeing in heaven. Yes, he was seeing in heaven. But let's see what all he saw in heaven. All right, it says in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. All right, let's stop right here for a minute. When we see a woman in Scripture, what are we talking about? We're talking about a church, are we not? Okay. When we see a moon, what are we talking about? We're talking about a woman. If we're talking about a woman, we're talking about a church. Where do I find that, Brother Mark? How can you say that a moon means a woman? Well, go back to Joseph's dream in Genesis, where he shared the dream with his family, and he said, "I dreamed a dream, and there were 12 stars, and the moon and the sun." And he said, "The moon and the sun and the 12 stars bowed to my star." He was one of the 12. Okay? And his father, Jacob, interpreted the dream for him. He said, "What? Your mother and I also?" And so Jacob knew that the moon was the mother, that he was the father, and the suns were the stars. So we see in the Word of God, it says the stars of heaven are going to fall. And the moon will turn to what? Blood. So what's going to happen to the moon church? There's going to be terrible tribulation in the moon church. What's going to happen to some of the great ones? Some of the great stars? Some of them are going to fall. Many stars are going to fall. Now, you understand, a natural star cannot fall and hit this earth, and there'll be an earth left. Even if a meteor big enough, I think if a meteor as big as a house were to hit this earth, it would cause such a destruction of the whole earth, it would shake the whole earth, such that I don't know what would happen. No, this is spiritual language again, brethren. We're in Revelation. We are in particularly spiritual language. So he saw a woman, and he saw the woman. Let me read on. He says, "And the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars." Now, I'm not a very good artist. Shall we make the woman in blue? Okay. And I'll make the moon in green. Okay. Here we go. So, how do you make a woman? Well, here's a woman, all right? And she's got her hair, you know, that makes her a woman, right? And arms, and I guess that makes her a woman, right? Does that look like a woman? Not really. But then again, I'm not a very good artist. And then it says, around her head was a crown of 12 stars. So, I'm not going to count them, but there's supposed to be 12. What is the meaning of the crown of 12 stars? 12. What is 12 stars? See, I ask you questions to make you ask yourself the question. The number 12 is the number of divine order of government. Okay? Where do we get the number 12? Well, we start with the 12 sons of Jacob. All right, that represented Israel in the Old Testament. When we get into the New Testament, how many apostles did Jesus choose? He chose 12. So what he was saying in the choosing of 12, 12 was that perfect number. He didn't choose 13 because 13 has a whole different meaning. 13 is the number of rebellion. Well, how do you get that? Well, for one example, I can say that in the days of Sodom, when Lot was living there, these cities had served this other king for 13 years, and in the 13th year they rebelled. and they went against him. So 13 is the number of rebellion. So you don't want a divine government with a seed of rebellion in it. Neither do you want 11 because it says you're one short. So perfect. Number 12, divine order of government. So now this woman church, this is a woman church, all right? Shall we call her the woman church? Woman church. And she has a crown. Now that's not the way the crown looked, because there's two different crowns given in this chapter. The crown of the woman and the crown of the beast. Okay? Now, the kind of crown that the woman is wearing here is actually called a chaplet. It's a little wreath made of some special kind of leaves. And what it is a symbol of, it's a symbol of an overcomer. I think Paul talked about that kind of crown. If you strive lawfully, he's talking about an Olympic type of event, where if you run the race and you overcome, you get a crown. In other words, that kind of a crown says you're an overcomer. Now the other kind of a crown, a diadem crown, which is what the beast is wearing. You look it up in the concordance and you find out what kind of crowns they wear. He was wearing a crown that he wanted to be a ruler, a ruling race. He didn't have an overcomer's crown. He just had something that he assumed that he could take dominion over. But now, let's take a minute here and we'll look at the rest of this woman. It says that she had the moon under her feet. So, here we have the moon under her feet. Pretty big moon, isn't it? And what we have here then, let's call this the moon church. Moon church. Now, where do you suppose we could find these churches in the tabernacle? This is the moon church. It looks like an egg. I didn't draw that real good. Is that okay? This is a warped moon. Okay, this is an old order church system. This is an outer court church system. This moon church is the outer court. All right? It's a church. It's a legitimate church. It's a church that's come through the blood of Jesus. It's a church that may have come through baptism and all that, but it is still a moon church. It does not have the crown of the 12 stars. Oh, there's something else about this woman. How do I make the sun? She's also clothed with the sun. Wow. I mean, wow. Look at that. That's supposed to be the brightness of the sun. So, the sun is what? What did I say the sun is? The sun is God. She's got the glory of God on her. Now you notice it doesn't say that the moon had the glory of God. It doesn't say that the moon had any kind of a crown of 12 stars. Okay? But here we are. We have a picture here now. It says, and being with child, she cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. Let's give her child another color. Oh, how do I make a child? It's in her. She's with child. All right, so here's child. Is that child? Okay. She's with child, and she's in pain and travail. Now, what are we talking about of a woman church being in pain and travail? Have we touched on that at all this week? Yes, we have. We went back to old brother Ezekiel chapter 8. Wasn't it chapter? No, it was chapter 9. When the Lord showed him that there was a... He showed him one with an inkhorn on his side, and he was given instructions to go through Jerusalem, go through the city. In other words, go through the church, go through among all of God's people, and mark in the forehead those who sigh and cry because of the abominations that are done in the midst of it. Now, brethren, today there is a woman. There's a woman, I believe that she's come to about to this place. She's come to where God is going to clothe her in His glory. She's come to where God is going to recognize that she has the authority that He's going to give to this church. And she has been in travail because not only because of the abominations that are being done. You see, there's an abomination of desolation that comes into this holy place church. And she has no other, at this place, she has no other place to go. She can't go back out. She isn't ready yet to enter into the fullness of Christ. But she's in travail because she wants to. And she's saying, "Oh God, oh God, oh God." Amen. Oh God, how am I going to overcome? Oh God, how am I going to come to the place, amen, where I can lay off all the shackles of this carnality? Oh God, how can I have the fullness of Jesus Christ? Oh God, when are you going to open up and really give your word? Oh God, when will we have the power that we need? When will we have the authority that we need? And so she is in travail, and she's about to give birth to something of a different kind of church. So let us call this little fellow right here the man-child church. Man-child church. And so you see, we have three churches basically on three different levels. I should have put this up here, but it's here. It hasn't been birthed yet. So we have on the lower level, we have the moon church. On the next level, which probably represents the present time, we have the woman church. And we have a future church that is going to come forth any time now, called the man-child church. There's nothing there. It seems there's nothing this woman can do in her own strength, in her own flesh, to bring forth this man-child. Okay? She's just in travail, and she's waiting for God to help her bring this thing forth. Now, it says here, "And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns. Where do we put this dragon? Red dragon. Oh, I should put him in red, shouldn't I? Amen. Red dragon. Okay, read me the description again. How many heads, how many horns?
7 heads.
7 heads.
10 horns.
10 horns.
7 crowns.
And 7 crowns. Now that has meaning. What does that mean? If you go through Revelation, it will tell you precisely what these things mean. Okay? The heads are what? They're kingdoms. They're nations. All right? So this is some kind of a world order government that has come together in the end time. It's made up of 7 key nations. 7 ruling nations. 10 horns. These are men. These are rulers. Men, rulers. Who have come together in agreement to form this system. And And then there are seven crowns, which also speak of the positions or titles of men. Let me call it titles. Titles or positions. And I don't know exactly, I'm not going to tell you what nations or what men or what positions they are. Men have speculated so many times on the makeup of this red dragon system. So many men have named an Antichrist over the years. I remember when it was Kissinger. I remember when it was Arafat. I remember when it was, they made Hitler. And you know, you can take, it's a very interesting set of numbers that they use to add up to the 666. And I said, I wonder if I could make my name add up to that. And if you do a certain few little tricks, like only add your middle initial or maybe add your whole middle name but not your last name, you know, you can do these things, and a lot of names can add up to 666. Well, these men have passed away, they've gone on, there's still one to be revealed, and there's still a government to be revealed. So what I'm saying, beware, brethren, there's something coming that is going to be very, very dark and very wicked. Yes, brother?
The seven heads of nations, that will be the end time
world government system, yes. I don't know whether it's in existence today. If it is, it's in secret. It's not being published. We don't know. Many men say that it's going to come out of Europe somewhere. It obviously has a lot of money that's backing it. We know there's a lot of big billionaire bankers that are in Europe and the United States. Somehow there's some kind of a system that's going to come together. Some people say they're going to divide the whole world up into seven kingdoms, North America, South America, you know, etc., etc., one, two, you know. I don't know how it's going to be. So I'm not going to say, thus saith the Lord, because there is no thus saith the Lord at this time. Okay? But we see that this dragon, this horrible thing now has, where is he? Here he's made. Oh, by the way, where is this thing found? Where did he see? In heaven. What is this thing doing in heaven? Didn't Jesus say, I beheld Satan fall like lightning? Well, what is this mystery? He can't be at the throne of God because he got thrown out. So there must be other realms or definitions of heaven. There must be lower heavens. Remember, Paul said he got caught up to what? The third heaven. So we know there's at least three. And if you want to know, I don't believe that Paul got caught up to the first heaven. I believe the first heaven is the very unapproachable throne of God, where only the mighty, powerful throne of God is. Now, we know that God is other places besides his great and mighty throne. We know that he's also here. But he also has a place, a certain throne that is just unapproachable. I believe the Word of God uses that term, unapproachable, at one point. So there must be a first heaven, a second heaven, and a third heaven. And when I got thinking about this one day, I thought, well, you know, I think that even these heavens are divided up into three different realms. So somewhere in one of these lower realms, heaven means a spiritual place. You see, the devil is a spirit being. And he travels about with quite a bit of freedom, running about not only in this realm out here, in there's a heaven realm, but we know also that there's a heaven realm in my soul. See, my soul has a spiritual quality to it. You can't look at my soul. You can't measure my soul. You can't photograph my soul. Amen? There's a spiritual nature of my soul. So the devil has access to that. He's had access to that in the church. He's had access to that in the souls of God's people. He's been whispering and muttering and peeping and suggesting and sometimes causing certain circumstances to come about. God has given him a certain liberty. You know that he actually showed up when there was a meeting of the sons of God? Did you know that? Where did that meeting of the sons of God take place in the book of Job? And who were they? Who were those sons of God? And what was the whole purpose of the meeting of the sons of God that God had called? You know what? I believe I know what the purpose was. And did you know that it was God that challenged the devil? The devil didn't come around God whimpering and whining and say, "Why can't I have Job?" None of the devil didn't ask. It was God that laid out the challenge. Have you noticed my servant Job? How would you like to be noticed like that? How would you like to get God's attention? And then the sons of God get together one day and God says, "Well, have you noticed my servant?" And he gives your name. And then you know what's going to happen? And the devil would say, "Well, yes, he just loves you because you've been good to him. Just let your hand back a little bit and let me at him a little bit. And he won't love you so much then." And so God did. You know, it happened twice. You know, it actually happened to me twice. And I think if you look back in your life, you can say it happened twice. First time, I almost died. Recovered the one day, it was about 2 months later, I said to my wife, I said, "Praise God. Thank you for helping me through this difficult time of recovery. I really believe that I'm recovered now." And you know what happened that day? She died right in front of my eyes. And I went to the Lord later. And I said, "Lord, what is this all about? Why did you have to do all this?" And you know what the Spirit of the Lord said to me? He said, "I thought you wanted to be among the sons of God." And that's all he said. And I thought to myself, "Well, yes, I did. But is this the way we have to go about it?" How many of you still want to be among the sons of God? Yes. Whatever it takes, we're going to be among the sons of God. Now, this takes place in heaven. So it's a different heaven. It's a different realm of heaven. It's a spiritual place. The word heaven many times means a spiritual place. Amen? When Jesus talks about heaven sometimes, shift your thinking and don't go into streets of gold and this type of thing and fountains of, you know, don't shift into the natural thinking. Shift yourself and say it's a spiritual word. He's talking about something that I probably don't understand right away, but I got to get my thinking up out of the natural realm. All right, so here we have a scene, and it says, "And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven." Where is that verse in Isaiah 91? I think it is. I forget the verse number. But it says, it defines what the tail ministry of the devil is. Where is it? It's in 91 of Isaiah. No, Isaiah 9. Let me take you there. Isaiah 9, chapter 14, or verse 14 and 15. Isaiah 9 tells you what the tail is. Isn't the word of God so good that it defines itself for you? Isaiah 9, 14 and 15, I think it is. It says here, "Therefore the Lord will cut off from Israel head and tail, branch and rush in one day. And the ancient and honorable, he is the head, and the prophet that teacheth lies, he is the tail." So the tail ministry of Satan is the false prophet ministry. Okay? And it says that with this false prophet ministry, what has he done? Let me find it here. With his tail he drew a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. So the false prophet ministry of Satan, see, these false prophets are really working for Satan. They're not working for God. They're false prophets. They're not God's. They're not bringing God's word. And Satan has used and is using the false prophet ministries, what it says here, to bring one third of the stars down. One third of the great ones. Amen? Out of 100 great men of God, he says that 33 of them could be brought down by the tail ministry of Satan. Deceived. Do you understand how you need to be really careful? You see these great ones on television, you need to be very careful, brethren. Because we know that at least one third of them are significantly corrupted, that they are being brought down or have already been brought down. Some of them have already fallen, and they're still making money like it's going out of style. But why? Because the people that they're ministering to are also deceived. Their motive is something other than the fullness of Christ. Their motive is something other than the kingdom of God. Their motive is to bring more money to themselves. Filthy lucre. Some of these ministries are motivated by filthy lucre. The Bible warns against it. Amen? All right, so now we have a picture. His tail, and the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Why does he want to devour this child? So far, he's been able to control this moon church. He is not concerned about the moon church. He has somewhat concern about the woman church, but so far he's been able to keep her at bay. But he knows that something, he knows the word of God, he knows the prophetic word, he knows that his head is going to get bruised seriously one day, he knows that her heel is going to come down on him. Amen. It would be that man-child ministry. Now, this is not a picture of Mary and Jesus. No, this is not. I know that there are prophetic preachers and what have you, writers that write on the internet and all, say it's a picture of... No, this is not the past. This is a future event. You go back to the first chapter and you go to the fourth chapter of Revelation, and both times it says the angel told him, write the things that must come to pass shortly. When John wrote that, these things had, this Mary and Jesus had already come to pass. The reason they don't want to acknowledge it as a future event is because it speaks too directly at what's going to happen to church systems. It's very direct. And therefore you have to interpret it and say, well, that doesn't apply to anything we're in today. It's way in the past, 2,000 years ago. No, it's not. Very clearly the Bible says must come to pass. All right, so the devil knows that when this church comes forth, he's going to be destroyed. He is going to be finished. God is going to use a man-child church company. No, not church in the sense of we make a new organization, call it Man-Child Incorporated. That's not it. You'll find that man-child everywhere. On the other hand, wherever, if the man-child is found in the harlot, the word of God clearly says, come out of her. Why? Because I'm going to destroy her. Isn't that what Patty shared this morning? Right. He's also saying in Revelation 11, if you're an outer court Christian, you have time to run in through the door. If you didn't have time, I wouldn't be preaching it today. You still have time. The bride still has time to make herself ready as a wife.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All right, now, he is ready to devour this man-child. And it says here, and she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. All right, so I said a woman is a type of the church. Now I'm changing the rules here, and I'm saying, well, wait a minute. This isn't a woman, this is a man-child. That is a different kind of a church. Now, brethren, we have never had on the earth ever a man-child ministry. It has always been a woman church. Israel, the bride of Christ, always the feminine. Okay? And by the way, the people that want to go through the Bible and take away feminine and masculine and make God a neuter and everything, totally, totally abomination. God has specific reasons for revealing male, female, gender. And this is part of this abomination that's going on in the nations today of where men marry men, transgender, non-gender, who knows gender, marry, intermarry gender. Man in England married his horse, or wanted to anyway. I mean, this is an abomination to the purpose of God in creation. And so, this is Satan, this dragon. Here, I can't draw a picture of that horrible thing. And you'll never get a picture of it on your camera. It's a spiritual thing. Okay? He wants to devour this child because he knows what he's going to do. This child is masculine because it is now a church that is fully joined to the head, Jesus Christ. We say to church people, who is the head of your church? Well, Jesus Christ. Well, now, who's really the head? Well, the superintendent or the pope or the bishop or whatever. No, this is a church that has no superintendent, bishop, pope, archbishop, whatever his title. Jesus Christ is in reality the head of this church. This is why it is now a man church. Because it is the body, it is Jesus with his body. And you know, God could do all this on earth without us. Do you know he really doesn't need our help? He can just snap his finger, point his hand, and say, let it be done. Why is he choosing to include mankind in this great and mighty end time purpose? What is this love of God that he would do this and he doesn't? You know, if man gets a hold of, were to get a hold of all that authority, he'd never share it with anybody. You ever see these evil dictators voluntarily bowing and sharing authority with anybody else? Or saying, well, I've been there long enough, let somebody else. No, they don't do it. Man doesn't do it. The devil doesn't do it. But God does, because he's different. And so what happens to this man-child? It says she brought forth a man-child who was to rule the nations with a rod of iron. What kind of description is this? Rule the nations with a rod of iron. What kind of a despot is this? Is this what it really means? Rule the nations with a rod of iron? Here's where you need to look up some of these words. This word rule, they could have put a better word there. I don't know what the translators were thinking, but if you follow that word in context, what it really means is shepherd. This man-child company is going to shepherd the nations with a rod of iron. What kind of a rod did the shepherd use? He had a shepherd's crook, and he would sheep get out of line, he'd reach that thing out and take the sheep. And now this wasn't made of cheap wood. This sheep couldn't just do like that and break that thing. No, this will not break. But let's take another look at what this is. What is this rule of the nations with a rod of iron? You go back to Revelation chapter 2:27, and you find the church of Thyatira, and he says to them, let's start in verse 26, "He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations." That word power is authority. We don't have that authority yet. I can't speak to the affairs of government just on my own and make a change. Now, corporately, we can pray and we can see some changes, but we really don't have quite that authority yet. But he says it's coming. Amen? He says, "I'll give it. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father." So the potter, the pottery, is made of clay. It's carnality. It's earthy. And what he's saying here to this church, now this applies to the other churches too. He that overcomes, this is for the overcomer. This is what I'm going to give in my kingdom. Amen? This is what I'm going to give in my reign. And you can share with me in this. Now, go over for one more verse to Revelation chapter 19. Weren't we in chapter 19 this morning? And you go to verse 15. And I think this comes after the marriage of the Lamb was revealed. And we're talking about the King Jesus, the righteous King, riding on a white horse. Amen. Eyes a flame of fire. Amen. Many crowns. Yes, amen. Many crowns. A new name that no man knew but he himself. Clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. Armies which were in heaven fallen. By the way, you notice that plural, armies. Armies. You know, there's a heavenly army and there's an earthly army of the Lord. Michael is kind of the chief of his heavenly army. So, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. That's the word of God. The word of God is sharp. He speaks the word, it's going to accomplish. A sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. Nations mean the world, the unredeemed people of the world. Amen? And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress in the fierceness of wrath and wrath of Almighty God. So we see the Lord coming in a realm of conquering and judgment, riding a white horse, and see, he has that rod of iron, but we see that his man-child company, apparently he's given some of that, he's joining with us as the head, and this is going to be some of the authority that's going to be given to this man-child company. Now we go down here. It says, "And she brought forth a man-child, and that her child was caught up unto God and to his throne." Well, does that mean that he disappeared now? What does that mean? I thought everything I've read so far shows that this man-child is going to be involved in warfare. And here he says, well, he got caught up to the throne. Now, this doesn't mean caught up to the throne so that God can shelter him and protect him and keep him from all kinds of harm and trouble. No, throne has a meaning. What does throne mean? What is the throne? The throne is a place of authority. So what God did here is he caught him up to a higher realm. As soon as this man-child was birthed, God is not going to allow this demonic thing of Satan to destroy him. He immediately gives this man-child ministry greater authority so that he can't be destroyed. And if you follow that back to Revelation 11, it says that if any man shall hurt them, in this manner shall they be killed. That means somebody comes up to arrest them. Somebody comes and threatens them. Bam. No, it can't be done. Wasn't it Henry Groover one time that said that he was in London, and some of the thugs came up to him with a gun, said they were going to rob him in one of the bad sections of London. I guess there's bad sections everywhere. And he says to them, "Well, you're not going to be able to do it." And they said, "Why not?" Because he said, "I'm already a dead man." And they fled. So I suppose that I can use that same statement. The Lord himself said to me, "For you're a dead man." I need to be brave enough to use it if somebody were to threaten me, and hope that I would have the same results. Well, by faith, I would have to believe it. Now, I don't know that we're in that complete place yet of Revelation chapter 11, but this is, when it is written, it is still a future thing, caught up. Now, this word caught up, by the way, is the same phrase that is used in Thessalonians, and people say, well, the whole church is going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and we're going to fly away some glad morning, and we're going to disappear. But every other instance of being caught up is they did not disappear and leave the earth. Paul got caught up to the third. Same word, same phrase. Harpazio, I think, is the Greek word. You got caught up. Well, Paul remained here. I think that what they had done is they beat Paul up so bad that he was in a coma or something, and his spirit probably left his body. He went to the third heaven. He heard things that were not lawful for him to talk about when he came back. Maybe he heard things that could not be described when he came back. I know there were things that I heard that I thought I would remember when I was in that place, and when I came out of it, I could not remember. But I know that there were things that were said. I know I heard prayers of people. He only allowed me to hear only one of them, and remember them, I should say. Only remember one. So the other thing we have that Philip, wasn't it Philip, was preaching to the eunuch out there in the desert? And they baptized the eunuch, and as soon as they came up out of the water, by the way, notice they came up out of the water. Philip wasn't pouring water on him. They had gone down in the water. Amen? As soon as they came up out of the water, Philip was caught away, and he was found at Azotus. So he was caught away. He was translated, is what happened. So God is going to spiritually translate this man-child, amen, into a place of authority. He says, "And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Now here's where we find a difference between the woman church and the man-child church. And we already see what's going to happen to the moon church. This woman church, it doesn't say that she's trampled underfoot for 42 months. 1,260 days. No, she's not trampled. She's taken to a place of wilderness. Now, that doesn't mean she's taken in a natural place. She's taken in a spiritual place where she is fed. Now, who would there be that would feed her? Would be the man-child company, okay? That he has the bread of life, that he's going to feed this woman, he's going to nourish her, he's going to give her life, because he has a special life from the Lord himself that she's going to have. So she's taken to a wilderness place, amen, and she's nourished for this period of time. Now, it says, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels." What do we hear about Michael? Where did we first meet Michael? First met Michael in the book of Daniel. And Michael was withstanding the prince of Persia, I think it was, that had come to resist and keep the angelic message from reaching Daniel. And the angel said, "Now I have to go back. Michael is holding for me. He's the great warring angel. He's holding for this angel." And he said, "The prince of Greece, I think he added too, is going to withstand me." Hallelujah, at that time. So, there was war in heaven, and the dragon and his angels fought and prevailed not. Neither was their place any more found in heaven. Right? There was no more place in the true church. There was no more place in the souls of men for this dragon ministry. There was warfare. There was overcoming. Amen. I believe that this woman church in the wilderness, she's fighting a certain kind of warfare. But the real victor here is Michael and his angels. Michael is coming to help the saints of God. Michael is not just a Jewish angel. He's an angel for God's people. And he's a great and mighty one. Someone said that Michael is the one who carries the blood. Amen. And it's the blood of overcoming. Hallelujah. So he says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. You see, this system is really the devil's system. The devil himself is in charge of this system. Amen. And was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Hallelujah. And where was he cast out? Here's a scene of heaven. Okay? And we taught before how trees are the strong Christians. Amen? Yeah. Most of them are man-child type of people. But he was cast from heaven to earth. So he was cast down into a carnal, natural realm. Now, when Satan is cast into a carnal realm, which means that he's going to be limited somewhat in his ability, in his spiritual ability. He's still a spirit being, but he's going to be cast down. He's been fought against. He cannot carry out his business as freely as he did before. He cannot just go wherever he wants to go. If he is cast into the earthy realm, here's what I believe he's going to do. I believe he's going to find a candidate for the Antichrist. He's going to enter into him, and he's going to try to carry out his dirty business through this Antichrist and through this world system. Because he's limited now. He's going to have to use the systems. All right? It's cast down. It says, and I heard a loud voice from heaven. We already read this verse earlier in the meetings, so I won't comment on it. I'll just read it. It says, now has come salvation. Remember when we talked about salvation? Now has come the finality of salvation. The finality of salvation is when the enemy is put under our feet. Hallelujah. Amen. Now has come strength, the king, the kingdom of our God, the power of his Christ, that includes the authority, for the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. You know, the devil doesn't, he just delights in going before God and saying, I accuse him, remember his sins. He's no good. See, this is the ministry of the devil. When you find the ministry of accusation going on in the church, it's the ministry of the devil. Don't give in to it. Don't yield to it. Amen? And they overcame him. Now, how are we going to overcome the devil? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto the death. Okay, now this is a good idea, isn't it? They overcame by what? The blood? The word? And loved not lies. All right. How do we overcome by the blood? Man, this is very practical. What are we overcoming? We're overcoming the accuser of the brethren. When he accuses you, what are you going to say? What did Jesus say? It is written. Satan, it is written. I'm covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. I am accepted in the Beloved. Amen? I am in the body of Christ. I am one with Christ. Amen? It is written. What have you got to accuse? When he looks at me, he says he's taken the sins as far away as the east is from the west. He says he's put them in the sea, in the deepest sea, where they will be remembered no more. Satan, what else do you have to accuse me of? Oh, my past? Oh, well, that's under the blood. You can't do anything with that. And the word of our testimony, okay, which means what? Which means you can't just think it. You have to say it. In other words, Satan has to hear you say it. Why? Well, he can read my thoughts. No, he can't. There's nothing in the Bible that says that he has the ability to read your mind. Well, he's pretty clever. Well, yes, he is. He's been watching mankind for 6,000 years. You get some pretty good clues if you've watched men for 6,000 years. You whisper something to the man, and he does thus and thus. You say, oh, yeah, okay. All I have to do is say thus and thus, and he'll do thus and thus. Yeah, I know what he's thinking, but he really can't. You need to give him the Word of God. Hit him with the Word of God. Amen? Brother Sass used to say, overload his circuits. Give him more electricity than his circuit breaker can stand, and just blow his circuits all out. Just keep hitting him. This is called warfare. All right. Oh, it wasn't so bad up until this point. I can overcome by the blood. I can overcome by the word of my testimony. What's this all about? Love not my life? In other words, is this going to be required of me if I'm going to be an overcomer? Well, yes, it is. If you want to overcome all things, what is this all about? Death to self. Death to self. Death. Isn't this what we talked about? Baptism, being identified with his death. If you want to just be half baptized and just have a ritual and you didn't really mean it, well, I don't really want to identify with the death, but I want membership in the church. I want to be a deacon, or I want to be some. No. If you want to be in the kingdom of God, I'm talking about. If you want to be great in the kingdom of God, shall we say? Yes. Well, first of all, you have to be a servant. But you're going to love not your life. If you say, I want to become a slave, you are saying, I'm ready to subject my life under the authority of Jesus Christ. Okay. It says, and therefore, this is so good. Verse 12. Therefore, rejoice ye heavens. Amen. And ye that dwell in them. Is this book written for people in heaven, or is this book written for people on earth? It's written for people on earth. I mean, the angel doesn't have to talk to John to give a message for angels in heaven or saints in heaven that have died. This is earth people who are dwelling in heavenly places. Why did it say that we can dwell in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, if it's not going to be possible for us to do so? Therefore, you who are living in the heavenlies, can I use that term, the heavenlies? Rejoice, you who are living in the heavenlies, but what? Amen? But woe to the inhabitants of earth and the sea, for the devil is come down unto you. See, he's coming down, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Rejoice, ye heavens. Amen. If you're living in heavenly place, this is the beginning of tribulation, by the way. And this is the wrath of the devil, by the way. He's going to exercise his wrath. There's going to be a lot of destruction. And woe to the carnal church, and woe to the world. The world is the sea. The world is the unredeemed people of the world is the sea. Well, Brother Mark, can you prove that? Yeah, go right over to the end of Revelation, where it says, and I saw, verse 20, chapter 21, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. See, there's still going to be a spiritual realm. There's still going to be a natural realm on this earth. This is during the reign, the thousand-year reign. I saw, amen, he saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. There was no more realm of unredeemed men. And where does the harlot sit? The great harlot. Maybe we should look at her this evening. The great harlot sits on many waters. She sits, these people that she's sitting on, this church that she's sitting on is really unredeemed. They're really not part of God. But she's ruling over them. Amen. Well, just one final word. I think we're getting close to our time here. Yes, we are. Okay. Let me just kind of summarize. We'll come down to these last few verses. It says, and the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth. He persecuted the woman that brought forth the man-child. See, he can't get at the man-child, but he can get at the woman church. Now, why did this woman... Why did not all of this church come into here? I asked a brother that one time. I said, why? Why didn't this whole woman church change into a man-child church and transform? I said, well, Brother Mark, the only thing I can see is that there were still some in the Holy Place Church that really didn't overcome all things. There was just some that didn't overcome everything. I don't know what that everything would be, but we know that there is definitely a woman church, and there's a man child church, and this moon church is being destroyed. Blood. The moon shall turn into blood. Okay. Now, it says he persecuted her, and the woman was given two wings of a great eagle. What did God say to Israel about their coming out of Egypt? He said, I brought you forth on eagle's wings, didn't he? No, they walked through the desert, but spiritually speaking, he said, I was there. I protected them, I kept them, I carried them along as if on eagle's wings. So she was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. Kind of repeating what we said over here earlier. And it says, and the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. This is words. He is cursing this church. He's got the news networks. He's got the television. He's got everything. And every news thing is how wicked, how terrible this woman church is. How she's the enemy of the New World Order. How she's to be persecuted every opportunity you get. And so he's speaking of flood. You know, a flood is not clean water. Have any of you had floods in your house? Where you didn't build them up high enough? And the water that came in was just filthy, dirty water. So this is filthy, dirty accusation water that he's bringing against this. She's a pure church. Yes. She's a good woman. She's a virgin. Amen? And she's being protected. Now, how did she... It says the serpent cast out of his mouth a flood that he might cause her to be carried away. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Amen. So the earth, again, would probably be this old order, carnal realm church that has not come beyond the door here. Religious, carrying on religion. And this is the church that then took the brunt of what Satan was trying to do to the woman church. In other words, the world didn't know the difference. One church is the same as another church. One Christian is the same as another. They're all bad, you know. But he protected this church, but this earth church, earthy church, took the brunt of Satan's wrath. Okay? And now the final verse is, and the dragon was wroth with the woman. In other words, the dragon knew that he wasn't getting to the woman. He knew he was destroying church, but he knew he wasn't getting to the woman church. He was wroth, and he went to make war with the remnant of her seed. What remnant is there of her seed? The only remnant we know of is the man-child. And so the devil is now going to make serious war with the man-child. Amen. The remnant of her seed, which keep the commandment of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. I'm going to close with a testimony. I was just thinking of it, of a brother we know in the Czech Republic. I met this brother, 22 years ago, I think it was, when my wife and I went to the Czech Republic. We stayed there for a season of time. And this brother was about 18, 19 years old at the time. And we were bringing this message. It was called Czechoslovakia in those days. They got a divorce. Now they're Czech Republic. And Slovakia has their own nation. But this brother came. He brought a little sister. She wasn't his wife yet. And some of the other brethren that I know went along. I think we had a conference or something over there. And others were coming and hearing the message. And he went for a walk in the woods, a little path in the woods. Their woods looks a little different than yours. You've got a lot more tropical things growing in your woods. But he went on a little path in the woods and he met a man. Rita, you correct me if I'm wrong here on this. You've heard the story. And the man said to him, "Look," he said, "if you want to be a Christian, I don't have a problem." He said, "If you want to be a pastor of a Christian church, I don't have a problem." But he said, "If you're going to lay hold on this message, this word that you're hearing, we'll kill you." And he looked away and he looked back and the man was gone. He was either Satan or an emissary of Satan. Think about what he said. This is Brother Martin, by the way. Did I get everything in on that, as far as you remember, Rita? All right. So Satan is saying, "Look, I don't have much of a problem with church business. You can grind out religion all you want. You can hoop it up. You can make noise. You can do whatever. If that's all you're doing, I don't have a problem with it. Even if you want to be a pastor of such an organization, I don't have a problem with it. But you threaten me if you're going to learn some of the things that we've been talking about here this week. You're a threat to the enemy. And sooner or later, he's going to have to make war against us. But glory be to God, we're going to be in a place of authority and we're going to win. Because Jesus Christ is going to be fully attached to the head. Not just Jesus is my head and I do what I want. No, Jesus is going to be the head and the body is going to do what the head says it's going to do. My body works that way. When my brain tells my hand to move, my hands move. When my brain tells me to rise up, my body rises up. And that's the way the body of Christ is going to function. Well, praise the Lord. God bless you. Thank you.